You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Your Best Friend is Returning. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
It would be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to describe the atmosphere surrounding that great event called the Ascension of Christ, which took place 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead. Artists have labored endlessly to recreate the scene when Christ ascended into heaven. Movie moguls have spent millions trying to recreate the atmosphere of both confusion and excitement. The reason is simple. Prior to Christ's ascension, thousands had seen and heard him. They marveled at his miracles. They were struck by his profound parables. The Bible says, Jesus taught like no other man. He taught with authority. Jesus tipped the prevailing political tables, and he upset the religious establishment of his day. Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. And then, fulfilling prophecy, Jesus voluntarily laid down his own life. Jesus was not forced to go to the cross. He went to the cross voluntarily to be crucified and to shed his innocent blood, a blood which has the divine power to cleanse you and me from all our sins. Then, when he had made purification for sins, the Bible explains, Jesus ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. All of these events, including Christ's suffering and death, were capped by his victorious resurrection, which is God's gracious guarantee and the blessed assurance given to all Christ's followers that death need have no permanent power over anyone, but rather that all can possess with absolute certainty the great joy and the assurance that they and their loved ones will live with Christ in the presence of the Father forever. Now, even though thousands had heard Jesus prior to his ascension into heaven, only his closest followers were with him when he returned to the Father. Here was surely a day filled with a mixture of joy, confusion, and even disappointment, a day that the disciples would never and could never forget. The disciple St. Luke, who investigated everything from the beginning regarding the life of Jesus, recorded these things in careful order, so that for those in his day and also for those of us in 1998, that we might know the exact truth about these things, including the ascension. And so then, shortly before Christ's departure, when the disciples had come together with their master, by their innocent and open questions, they revealed that they too were not exactly sure what was going to happen in those last minutes just before Jesus ascended into heaven. Turning to Jesus, they asked, Lord, is it at this time that you are going to restore the kingdom of Israel? You see, even at this very last moment, at least a few of Jesus' closest followers still held to the mistaken idea popular among some Jews in that day that Jesus might just be the earthly Messiah who would overpower opposing kingdoms and set up one of his own. But just then, when their hopes had ascended into the clouds of fantasy, then Jesus dashed their sentimentalism by refocusing the discussion on reality. Jesus turned the tables. He refocused the discussion. He moved things from unstable speculation to solid promise. Jesus said to his dedicated disciples, It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. However, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Then the Bible explains, after Jesus had said these things, he was lifted up while they were watching, and a cloud received Jesus out of their sight. And then as the disciples were gazing intently into the sky, witnessing Christ's departure, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. Of course, these two men dressed in dazzling white were angels. These angels then said to the disciples, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will also come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." The disciples of Christ, they may have been confused. Yes, the followers of Jesus may have been left speechless by the sudden departure of their master. However, the words of the angels that Jesus will return have been the reliable foundation of hope for Christians in every century, especially persecuted believers. The joy-filled statement of the angels that Jesus will indeed return was a restatement of a promise that Jesus himself had made earlier in his ministry. Jesus spoke this comforting promise to Peter and to other disciples. And since many of these hope-filled promises which Jesus made to his disciples apply also to us today, recalling this discussion gives us hope in 1998. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, we read, "Simon Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, where are you going?' Jesus answered, 'Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me later.' Peter then said to Jesus, 'Lord, can't I follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you.' Jesus answered, 'Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, I say to you, a cock shall not crow until you deny me three times.' Then Jesus said, 'Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, Jesus said, I would have told you. Now, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.'" The ascension of Jesus Christ and his repeated promises to return are more than mere interesting aspects of Christian history. These promises coming from the loving lips of Jesus that he will return and that he will take his followers with him are the foundation blocks of faith. These promises are special blessings which God graciously offers to you and to me in order to enable us to survive days of discouragement and even weeks of weariness. It would be appropriate then, I think, to mention briefly that not everybody's heart and hopes are set on Jesus' return as being the most important. Some today are looking toward the return of famous mortals. You see, these people are hoping that Elvis Presley, that's right, they are hoping that Elvis Presley will come back soon. And to commemorate the High Holy Day each year on August 16, 10,000 acolytes hold a candlelight vigil. The Time magazine article then adds, "For some, the light holds hope for the king's return. Once the province of supermarket tabloids, reports of Elvis' resurrection now exist in many bookstores. Those who hope for the return of Elvis Presley will surely be disappointed, because, you see, his cold bones are still in the grave. But for those who hope for the return of Christ, their hope will be a glorious reality. After being crucified and placed in a cold tomb, 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. Prior to his death, Jesus said that he would be raised again in 3 days, and this is exactly what happened. Jesus also promised that he will return, and this too shall surely happen. Praise his holy name. Oh, my friend, the news that Christ rose from the dead is especially good news, because when you and I are followers of Christ, and when you, through God's gift of faith, trust in Jesus as your Savior from sin, then you are never, ever alone. Connected to Christ by faith, you have the same promise which Christ gave to his most intimate disciples when shortly before his ascension he said, "Lo, I am always with you, even unto the end of the world." Whenever the devil tempts you to believe that you can no longer shoulder the burdens of life, then consider that beautiful hope in Christ, expressed by the black slaves who served endless hours laboring in the fields under a torturing sun. These victims of man's inhumanity sang for God's mercy and of the hope which they had as they looked forward to that day when they would see their Lord face to face. They sang, "Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home." These slaves knew better than any of us today can realize the meaning of St. Paul's words when he wrote, "The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Oh, my friends, live every day with Christ's promise that He is always with you and that He will return and take you to be with Him forever in paradise. And then pass this same hope and this wonderful joy to your children. With this consolation from Christ, your loved ones will not be overcome by the defeatist philosophy that was expressed in a commencement address given at Middlebury College in Vermont several years ago. The famous speaker told the young people that for years, Americans lived with a deep-seated conviction that our children's future will be brighter than their parents'. But now, he said, neither we nor our children believe that they will be better off than we were. Of course, if all we have in this life is money and investments and property, then this man is certainly correct. But with Christ in your life, you can transcend fears of inflation and recession and depression. And with Christ in the lives of your children, they can look forward with hope no matter how unstable the economic forecasts might be. Yes, with Christ in your life, you can then know for sure that even if the worst should come, yes, even if tomorrow your physician would tell you that your illness is terminal, even then you could rejoice because the same Jesus who promised His disciples that He would return and take them to be with Him in the heavenly mansions, this same Jesus will also take you to be with Him in paradise. And so then, therefore, instead of worrying about life, instead of wearying through the endless demands of each day at the office or at school, take the better road. Let God, through His gracious and life-giving Word, lift your heart and anchor your soul to the certainty of Christ's return and the realization that what Christ is already preparing for you is far better than anything you could ever ask for, and a million times greater than anything any lottery could ever buy. Speaking even more graphically about the glories of heaven and the joy of seeing Jesus face to face and of being in the presence of God, the Apostle John writes in the Revelation that on the last day God shall dwell among His people, and He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. The Bible says, "And He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Then He said, Write, for these words are faithful and they are true." And so then today, as we recall that historic event when Jesus ascended into heaven, let's also remember that Jesus did not travel to some distant galaxy millions and millions of miles away. Just the opposite is true. Jesus is always with us, 24 hours every day. He may not be visible, but He is always present. When Jesus disappeared from the disciples' sight, this phenomenon might be compared to the sudden disappearance of fog or early morning mist. When the morning sun appears and the temperature rises, then the mist disappears, even though the moisture remains. It is the same way with Jesus. Even though at the ascension His disciples could no longer see Him, Jesus was still present among them. And Jesus is still present among us today. This, my friend, is the greatest news for you today. When your burdens are heavy, when you are weary from worry, and when you feel that you can face life no longer, remember. Yes, always remember that Jesus is beside you. He is with you to help you and to hold you. And when your last hour comes, Jesus will take you to be with Him forever in paradise. Let's pray together, shall we? Dear Lord Jesus, in your grace and mercy, send a wake-up call to the whole world. Let Christ's promise that he will return lead men, women, and children everywhere to repentance. Especially today, O Lord, for those listening to these words, let the knowledge of Christ's return give them hope in days of difficulty, and let his promise of his reappearance remove all meaninglessness from their lives and replace it with purpose and direction. Lord, we pray, let your Son's promise of his return dry all tears, especially on those days when the darkness of death descends. O Lord, in Jesus Christ, give people everywhere a living hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.